You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
And Randy Isbell.
Hello and welcome to another Football to the Max. And man, this is, well, it's going to be the third day of free agency by the time you're listening to this, or possibly even later. We are continuing with our off-season analysis series here as we have two people, one doing a Tennessee Titans and one doing the Jacksonville Jaguars. So we'll get to those interviews a little bit later, but guys, how's it been in the couple of days since we've talked to each other?
I just wish the NFL would do something entertaining at the start of free agency. I mean, nothing happened, right, Gary?
Oh, nothing at all. No fireworks at all, you know. Just, you know, little slow stuff here and there. It's not like, guys who are supposed to be quarterbacking one team turn their backs and go to another, you know, things like that, you know. It's amazing. But just let everybody know, we want to make sure we thank our partnership with LastWordOnSports.com. Awesome guys over there. And, of course, hey, hopefully you're listening to us anywhere and everywhere. But the W2M Network is a place you can find us and a lot of other great shows.
Of course. Always great to remember the partners and get that stuff in there. So, you know, I guess we might as well just start with probably what will be the biggest news, because this turns this Super Bowl winning team upside down. Brock Osweiler, as I think I mentioned, getting that fourth year and also getting about 30-something million more dollars to go to the Houston Texans. Joining him is also Lamar Miller. That kind of covers their two big needs that was talked about endlessly by Mr. Ross Teeman on his interview there with me. I mean, Randy, I think I remember you vehemently saying this was not happening.
No, I never said it was not happening. I said if it was happening, they're retarded. I will retract my statement saying Brock Osweiler was retarded. Listen, he pulled the Matt Flynn. He had a couple okay games on a very good team, and he got his payday. That's exactly what Flynn did when he played one great game in Green Bay. Seattle paid him a bunch of money, and guess what? He did not even start for that team the next year. Osweiler is not a good quarterback. He is far from anything where he's going to turn your team around.
He's not a bad quarterback.
You don't know that, though. He's done nothing. He played a couple games last year. He threw 10 interceptions, 10 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 60% completion rating on a really good team. You have no idea what you have here, and you just gave him a huge contract. So I can't sit here and tell you that Houston fixed a quarterback problem, because to me, they just put in one, or took away one okay quarterback and put in a very much unknown quarterback. So listen, all credit to Brock Osweiler. You got your money. So even if you do become a bust, you're rich. But here's Houston again making a really terrible decision, overpaying for somebody who has a very small track record.
It's all about the money, and I mentioned it last week, and I'll mention it again. If you get offered more money and your original team is not willing to pony up, you're probably going to go where the money is. And that's the way this works. This is business. This isn't about friendships or about the fact that you have, you know, anything else going on in that city. It's about making money. And these guys have a very tight window to where they can make this kind of money. And this is it. Osweiler doesn't know what his future holds. He had no idea how it would go down in Denver. He may have been the next, you know, big thing. He made, you know, Aaron Rodgers like type quarterback, or it could have been that Matt Flynn Randy is kind of alluding to. I don't know. He doesn't know. No one knows. But what he did was make an investment with himself and went to the Texans. Now, is that smart for the Texans? We'll find out. We don't know right now. But I do agree with Randy. You just don't know what they're getting into. You don't know the situation. I get where you could be excited as a Houston Texans fan because you feel like you stole a quarterback away from a franchise, a Super Bowl winning franchise. But on the other hand, it's a small sample size. You're going to find out what's real here. But I don't know. It's interesting. It really is. But, I mean, if they're willing to pay the money, you got to give the credit to the Texans for taking the chance.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, no doubt that you have to give – the Texans the credit for basically swooping in. We talked about that the Texans were one of those teams that definitely had the makeup and had the cap space to come pull that from under the Broncos. And, you know, the Broncos offered what they thought they wanted to pay for him. You know, the 3 years, what was it, $45 million that was on the table. And then, you know, the Texans come in here and do their thing. And then they come in and they take Lamar Miller, and he also gets paid. And now they filled both of their big needs. And they also, I think, got some offensive linemen in this as well, if I'm not mistaken. So possibly even filled all three of their big needs in all of this. I mean, you would say that the Houston Texans, if we're looking at this on paper, are one of the front runners for winners of free agency at this point, right?
Well, I mean, you could say winners, or you could say big spenders. But I think that, you know, right now it looks good on paper, like you said, Sean, because Osweiler did, you know, have decent games when he played. And, of course, Lamar Miller was one of the better running backs coming out of this class of free agent backs that, you know, you had to choose from. So I think it's good moves. You know, adding those two offensive linemen was a smart decision because they really needed to shore up their, you know, offensive line. I say right now, as it stands, they probably are the winners.
Yeah, they made some really good moves. The Lamar Miller move was a bigger one for me just because – I really think he's ready for that breakout year. He seemed to, every time he would get going in Miami, they would just stop giving him the ball. I don't know how many times, because one of my good friends is a Dolphins fan, we'd be sitting there watching a game, and Lamar Miller would go out and bust out like 50, 60 yards in the first quarter and then have one carry the rest of the game. Like, they would just completely go away from him. So I think if Houston can rely on him a bit more and really give him the ball and let him show his stuff, he could be a huge asset for that team.
Certainly. I mean, Lamar Miller, I watched him a ton last year with the Dolphins, and I mean, he made them go when the offense wanted to focus on the running game, and he's certainly somebody that can really help out this team. I mean, he played for most, you know, he didn't have the injury problems after coming back from, I think, an injury sort of plague season the year before. So hopefully that continues for them. And if he can stay healthy, which is a problem, you know, Houston's had at running back, that, you know, gives them a huge punch with the quarterback. Hopefully that works. And then Lamar Miller, and then you improve that offensive line. And you've got guys to protect Osweiler, and you've got a running game that can take the pressure off of him so that he can go make the throws to DeAndre Hopkins and, you know, whoever else they get to cover on the wide receiver end of that, you know, there. Moving on from that, there's a ton of places we can go here, but I'll, I guess, start here with the Giants going defense, tripling down. They re-signed Jason Pierre-Paul to a one-year deal. They get Janoris Jenkins from the Rams, who was the one corner they decided, you know, they decided to go franchise Jermaine Johnson, and then, you know, lift Jenkins out there. And then they go and sign Olivier Vernon for a huge amount of money. Great work by the Giants, or overpay by the Giants?
I think it's, you know, a smart decision to add some important pieces. And, you know, I think, you know, Vernon's a good decision. They really had him high on the list of guys they really wanted. And, of course, Janoris Jenkins, a guy that really can help shore up their defensive backs. It's, you know, it's just definitely a big start. They needed help last year. They weren't terrible last year. I mean, they had some moments where they looked pretty okay, but this is definitely a good start to getting that defense back on track where they wanted. Pierre-Paul, you know, one-year deal. They were not, you know, committing themselves too long with him because, you know, let's be honest, last year they got a taste of what maybe he can still do, but they don't know a whole year. That's what's really going to tell them the truth about him and how his final years as, you know, a defensive player is going to work out. So I think the decisions they made were very wise. I think it's definitely going to help their team.
And the Giants also signed Damon Harrison away from the Jets. So
yeah, they went out and got a lot of the top defensive players available in this free agency. I really think they went out there going, listen, we have some of the pieces we need on offense. Our defense was lackluster. Let's go out and get the talent we need to become a contender right here, right now, and start the new regime.
Another sort of player is the Raiders, as we figured they would be. They go and sign the offensive. They sign an offensive lineman, Osmelli from the Ravens, pretty early, and then they go and get Bruce Irvin, and then they get Sean Smith. So, offensive line help for Derek Carr, and then they go double defense. So Bruce Irvin and Khalil Mack. Yikes! I don't want to play that team.
Yeah, you remember the team that just won the Super Bowl? And how they won with the rush on the outside. Welcome to the 2016 version, and welcome to your AFC West champions in the Oakland Raiders. I think this is the team I think that is winning the free agency market this year in the Raiders. Just a lot of their moves really hit home on what they really needed to accomplish. They have a young offense with a lot of firepower. Now you bolster the protection for Carr, and you bulk up that defense, and you got a possible Super Bowl team in the next year or two, really.
Yeah, and we've talked about it in the, you know, not forgotten past. I mean, really, we've considered this Raiders team an up-and-coming team, a team that's going to be there before you know it, and these type of moves are moving them in that direction quicker than we maybe even thought. I know Christopher Hill is probably thrilled right now that, you know, his team is really getting some of these great pieces, and it's going to continue. Randy may be right. At the end of the day, after free agency is completely over, they may be the ones that do win free agency. We still have a little ways to go. We got some time, and, you know, of course, you know, after June 1st, you're going to see more guys being cut, and you're going to see more moves being made. So these guys have the money. You may see some other big moves after June 1st.
Yeah, certainly. And, I mean, your Jets were not without doing that either. They went and got Matt Ford. They signed a trio of running backs. They got Bilal Powell back. They went and got Matt Forte, and they also signed Kyrie Robinson.
And that's it. It seems like every time I hear a Jets make a move, it's another running back. But they, like we talked about when we covered them during the offseason, they didn't have a lot of moves that they needed to do. Running back was a position that they had to address because, you know, most of them were free agents. I do like the addition of Matt Forte. Yes, he's an aging running back, but you get him in there in a trio and you don't have to just rely on him. He's great out of the backfield in the receiving game. So if they could ever cut in on whatever deal that is not becoming any close with Fitzpatrick and they do re-sign him, he will have that dump-off running back and really bolster that offense. So hopefully they can get him back and make it a huge deal.
If anything, it should be more of a selling point for him to get back there as soon as possible. And, yeah, I mean, right now that's the biggest glaring spot right now is quarterback after they strip the running backs. And I'll be really curious to see what's going to go down with that. But, I mean, I agree with Randy. Forte's a great, you know, a player when it comes to making sure that he's in the right position, making sure that he, you know, takes advantage of the things that they're going to put him in place to do. So I'm looking forward to seeing Matt Forte and everything he's going to do with the Jets. And of course, you know, I think Kyrie Robinson's another great add. I mean, I think that he's going to be a definite change of pace.
Well, what do you think about the possibility of Brian Hoyer going to the Jets?
No, no, no.
Well, you know, I mean,
hey, you know, you were going to get the other guy you didn't want. So,
no, we're not going to either. Listen, if we don't get Fitzpatrick, I'm fine. I said I felt like Geno Smith could have taken that next step before he got punched in the face. Let's go ahead and see if he does take that next step this year. If we don't get Fitzpatrick, if he doesn't work, throw Petty to the Wolves and let's see what we go. Don't sign Hoyer. Don't trade away a bunch of draft picks to get Kaepernick. Don't sell the farm to get RG3. Don't. If you're worried about Geno Smith and you don't think Petty's the guy, go ahead and get a quarterback in the draft and rebuild from there. There's no salary cap to begin with. Just no. No.
Oh, he said no plenty of times, okay.
Yeah, I know. you know, I don't imagine it's going to happen. I mean, it could. I mean, I know there was some thoughts on that. I think that's more in the lines of the maybe them kind of making some thought process of, hey, let's make, you know, Fitzpatrick think that we can move on. Let's make him think that he needs to hurry and sign a contract with us and not wait around forever. So that, to me, is more of a bluff and it's a serious conversation. If it's real, I don't know what they're thinking.
Well, what about going the other way? Now the Broncos might do a trade to get Colin Kaepernick after they also lost Danny Trevathan to the Bears. I should note as well. So you lose, you know, a big linebacker. It was going to always be hard to try to re-sign both Brandon Marshall and Danny Trevathan. One of those guys was going to go. And then, you know, you lose Osweiler. C.J. Anderson right now has an offer sheet to the Dolphins. They have 5 days to match. I think the Broncos are dumb at this point if they let Anderson walk. I don't know about you guys, but now they're talking about bringing in Colin Kaepernick as their quarterback.
You know, that's an interesting move, but I think it could be a knee-jerk reaction. It could be a situation where they feel like they need to have someone established right there, right now, which, hey, I don't blame them. It's an important position. But I'm just thinking to myself, Kaepernick in that system, does he work? I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine right now that this guy's going to come in day one and really put things together. I think it's going to be a learning curve for him to an extent. But, I mean, they may have some other kind of plans that I don't know, you know, for that offense. It's just, it's interesting. I can understand it, but I don't know.
Yeah, John Elway, they've been saying, was a big Colin Kaepernick fan, and they almost drafted him a couple years ago. So I think that fit could probably work. on top of, as a Jets fan, if the Broncos go out and get Kaepernick, that's one less place for Fitzpatrick to go.
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously, do you think Fitzpatrick's just trying to, he's wanting too much money?
Well, yeah, he had a career year. Why not try to bank on that career year? I mean, look, Osweiler didn't even have a career year. He had a couple okay games and got a ton of money.
Yeah, so but Osweiler's much younger.
Absolutely. I'm not saying he's looking for that kind of money, but Fitzpatrick did it for an entire season. So, of course, he's going to then go, I deserve X amount of money. I deserve more than what I got last year. And I get it, but I'm just hoping they can come to some kind of agreement.
I agree with you. I mean, it's, you know, Colin Kaepernick's interesting. You don't necessarily need the best quarterback, as we've talked about, in order to, you know, win with that defense. But, man, you know, I don't know. Colin Kaepernick is another one of those guys. He's come from a system where, okay, you can say that it was a team. You can say it was the coach. You can say whatever it was. He did have talent at one point. Do you test it again, or do you go with a proven commodity like Fitzpatrick? And that's where maybe Elway is just worried about getting in another Peyton situation where what happens to Fitzpatrick, and at least Colin Kaepernick's young enough to where he can be with the team for a while. I don't know. What do you think that he may... Because Fitzpatrick seems like the most obvious choice, right?
To me, and when Osweiler went, I thought Fitzpatrick was going to go to Denver. At this point, I think if you're John Elway, you get one of these guys because you still have a pretty decent team. You've lost some of the pieces, but all around, you still have a great team that still has a chance to possibly repeat. So you get in one of those veteran guys that can hold down the fort, and then you draft a quarterback in the draft for the future, which you thought was going to be Osweiler, but won't be. So now here's your chance to hold down the fort for a couple of years and be set to go once whatever rookie they sign is ready to go.
Yeah, so moving on to another team that has really been doing some moves, the Atlanta Falcons. They get Alex Mack from the Browns after all that stuff with the Browns. Will he, won't he stay? You've got Derek Shelby from the Dolphins. Matt Schaub signs as a backup quarterback. You have, I think the Falcons, I can't remember exactly who, Mohamed Sanu on a 5-year deal for the Falcons, and then Witherspoon as well. Good deals for the Falcons?
Yeah, absolutely. I like getting Sanu there to be the Robin to the Julio Jones' Batman. I mean, that's definitely going to help Ryan. Can they put that together and be a complete team? It's going to wait and see. But as far as the passing game goes, that was a huge move for them.
Yeah, and, you know, for, you know, the rest of the offense, you know, I think that they're going to really, you know, succeed because of that. And I think some of these moves are, you know, pretty smart. Even Matt Schaub, think about that. I mean, if you were a Falcons fan and you owned a jersey back in the day of Schaub's, then you're feeling pretty happy today because, you know, you didn't waste your money as much as you thought you did.
God. I think Alex Mack is going to be a big signing there, the center. He's going to be able to protect Matt Ryan, which was a problem last year, and certainly – you know, I like that move a lot. Mohamed Sanu, we talked about, that's going to be big, you know, for them to see if he definitely works out there. You've got, who else here? I mean, the teams that made moves, both of the, you know, we've talked about the Titans with DeMarco Murray. They also brought in Rishard Matthews, which I thought was a fantastic grab for them as far as adding in that third receiver that I feel he needed. I think they added in a couple of offensive linemen to, or at least Ben Jones for sure, that to protect Marcus Mariota, which was obviously needed. So, I mean, do you like the Matthews move for the Titans?
I think it's great. This is a guy that, you know, he's speedy. He's got a lot of ability. And I think Mariota is going to find a favorite guy in him. I think he's going to be, looked at a lot. And he just adds another weapon to that offense that they really, like you said, Sean, really needed. And, you know, we'll have to see. I think this offense is definitely upgraded now. Now you've got a running back that's definitely going to be more solid than the guys they've had in the past. Now you've got an upgraded receiver. I mean, I think this team actually can maybe make some waves.
Speaking of receiver, Marvin Jones, 5-year deal to go to the Lions and not replace, but fill the hole that gets left by Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, I'll attempt to fill the hole. Unfortunately, you are going to the Detroit Lions, who are in a bit of a tailspin. So I don't see that being as big of a move as he's hoping.
Isn't that sort of like having another Golden Tate there? Like you're basically having two of the same receiver, aren't you?
To an extent.
The Chiefs keep a lot of people. They keep some of their main. They keep Tom Mahali. They keep Derek Johnson. They bring in an offensive lineman. And they also lose two draft picks because of tampering with Jeremy Maclin last year. So you lose some, you win some if you're the Chiefs. Is this a big deal, them losing these draft picks here for Maclin?
No, I mean, yes, draft picks are very, very important, but what was it, like a fourth round and a third round or something like that? Like I think it was a third round this year and a fourth round next year, or right around those. So it's right in that cusp of usually, you know, third and fourth round, you're looking at really bolstering a position that's not that sexy. I mean, you're looking at the second tier offensive lineman and stuff like that. So it could make a difference, but knowing Andy Reid, you can fix that by trading a veteran player for a couple draft picks and filling those spots. So I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal.
Yeah, this happens. And, you know, as much of a pain it is for the Kansas City Chiefs, I think that they can overcome it, and even if they don't make those trades and they just suck it up and just lose those picks, I think they'll be okay, but it's never good. I mean, this is a situation I don't think they ever wanted to be in, and it just, you know, they got kind of caught.
Yeah, for sure. George Gilloka stays with the Bengals. Pac-Man Jones also stays with the Bengals. 5 years and 3 years for both of them. So they can't really seem to be re-signing any of their they re-signed Brandon Tate. They can't re-sign the other two receivers, but they at least keep some of their defense intact. Speaking of defense, the Cowboys retain the services of Rolando McClain again. Gary, any thought to McClain possibly playing better than last year?
That's a good question. He'll play about 8 games really well, and he'll be one of the better linebackers on the field in any game he plays in. And then the other 8 games, he'll be looking at his watch on the sideline. So that's about what you get out of Rolando McClain. He does, his heart's in it. When his heart's in it, he's all go. When he wakes up that Sunday morning and he feels like having an Eggo waffle instead of playing football, that's what his thoughts are on. So it's the truth. I mean, you watch his play, very lackluster at times, and then it's amazing in others. But I think Dallas really, you know, had to get somebody in this position. They really didn't want to spend the money to go after a really, you know, talented linebacker. He's talented. He's just, heart's not in all the time. I think they figure he's serviceable, he's cheap, and he's a guy that can get you somewhere at least. So, yeah, he's a decent pickup. I mean, they're not paying me really anything. The one-year deals are basically based on him understanding that any time, any place, they can just cut him and not have any casualty on their cap space.
So, Randy, do you think the Broncos let CJ Anderson walk?
Yeah, and I really don't blame them. They now have many other holes that they need to fill. Running back has just kind of been a carousel there lately. It's going to continue to be. So go ahead and let him walk and replace him, and I don't think they're that worried about it.
That means the Dolphins would get to replace Lamar Miller. And they also picked up Mario Williams. So, you know, they just keep adding to that. They lose Olivier Vernon. Well, no problem. We got Mario Williams instead.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned Mario Williams because I just talked to Rolando McClain. We're hearing more and more out of the Buffalo that Mario Williams, you know, was a guy that they were willing to make expendable because of his kind of maybe, I don't know, bipolar, but let's say it this way, his lackluster moments in playing the game.
What do you think, Randy?
I just haven't been the biggest fan of Mario Williams. Like, I know he's a great player, but I don't think he's like that top echelon. But I also hate the fact that he's still in my division. I can't sit there and go, I think he's elite, even though he might be, but it still devastates me that he goes to a different team, but the Jets still have to see him twice a year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just hope that those two times a year he's unmotivated those games.
This. Kobe Fleener signs a 5-year deal with the Saints.
Smart move for him.
Great move for Drew Brees. Basically loses Jimmy Graham and gets another really good tight end.
Exactly. I'm right there and don't understand why the Colts made that decision. I guess they... money and all that comes into play, but you're right. Drew Brees is going to.
I just don't see how Dwayne Allen is better than Fleener, but I don't know. Yeah. What do you think, Randy?
Well, yeah. I mean, Drew Brees loves to go to the tight end. He really never made that connection with the two tight ends he had last year. Watson did okay. But now here you go with Kobe Fleener, very good talent. Maybe they start getting connection. He's not going to be as good as Graham, but it's going to be better than what they had last year.
And I got a message from Mike Mitchell saying that he is excited that William Gay and now Ladarius Green have been signed by the Steelers. So I'm guessing that means they're not going for tight end. In the draft now, even though Ladarius Green is rather injury prone. 4-year deal for the guy.
I like him, by the way. I mean, I think he's a great player. I think he did well in San Diego. You know, he's got to get healthy and stay healthy. But I mean, I don't think it's a bad move. I think Big Ben and him could hook up plenty of times and have a pretty successful career together.
And Travis Benjamin goes to the Chargers, and Antonio Gates stays a Charger. So, at least another weapon for Philip Rivers there. Thoughts at all, Randy?
Yeah, you put him with Keenan Allen, and then offense is going to be a lot of fun. I still don't see them really taking that next step and being a contender, especially with what Oakland's been doing, but... at least for Philip Rivers, it's going to be so many weapons to throw to. So it's going to be fun to watch, especially for fantasy.
I think we kind of covered pretty much most of the big ones here. I'm not going to keep going down the list. We'll have plenty of more days to cover this stuff, so we should probably get into talking about the two teams here, and they are going to... Oh, well, I forgot to talk about the Jags for a second. Malik Jackson, Chris Ivory, punter Brad Nortman, and I think it's offensive lineman, all going to the Jags. Malik Jackson, obviously the big one. They wanted Vernon. They did not get him. Apparently, Prince Mukamura is also talking to them. He's nothing's been signed, and Tashawn Gibson is also signed the safety. Pretty good moves for the Jags, huh?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, behind Oakland, I think Jacksonville was second for me. You know, yes, Houston made some big moves, but Jacksonville needed the defensive help. I became a huge supporter of what the offense was doing last season. I just felt like the defense wasn't there and Blake Bortles was trying to do too much. You get the defense and then that high potent offense can do work without having to worry about their defense giving up 40 points. You also get Chris Ivory, who's going to be a good 1-2 punch with TJ Yeldon. All of a sudden you have even more balance. You write it down right now. What is this? March 11th. The Jacksonville Jaguars are winning the AFC South next year.
Already bold statements by Randy, but I would definitely say that you need to use that draft now to get some offensive linemen because that was the biggest problem for Mr. Blake Bortles. He was running for his life at the time. Gary?
Yeah, I agree. They've got to do it, and they've got to find a way to now get that offensive line get in gear and make a way for those running backs to get through the line and make a way for Bortles to stay upright more than he has been. So I think that if they can do that, I mean, Brandy's prediction could be very true. We really like the team. I think their defense is going to be way improved. Offense is already doing well. This team could be a really big contender next year.
Well, we're going to start off here with the Tennessee Titans as Jimmy Christopher from the Raw Reaction over on Breaking Wrestling News Radio. Yes, I know it's a wrestling guy, but he definitely knows about his Titans. He's been a fan of them since they moved over to Tennessee, and he has some pretty interesting things to say about the team here, the moves that were made by the team in free agency so far, and a few other things. So here we go, about almost 18 minutes. Let's do this. Okay, well, I'm here doing the first interview for the podcast today, and with me here is a Tennessee Titans fan, Mr. Jimmy Christopher.
Hey, Sean, thank you. Thank you very much for having me. I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Doing okay. So how long have you been a Titans fan?
I've been a Titans fan for, how long has it been? About 17 years now, give or take. Pretty much since they made the transition over from the Houston Oilers, I started picking up on that.
So what made you just decide to switch with them?
Well, when I was a kid, I guess you could call me a front runner technically, because the Super Bowl that they went to against the St. Louis Rams, we ended up losing by about 2 yards. Is the year that I started watching them and picking them up. So since then, I just kind of followed them, kept with them, and became more fan each and every year.
Well, fair enough. So you got to start somewhere, you know. So, looking at the season that was last year, you know, you drop Ken Wisenhunt. They bring in Mike Mularkey as the interim coach. They decide to keep him over the off season. Lots of questions going on with the ownership, too, about, what's going on with that. What did you think about all the stuff with the coaches and the front office and all that?
Normally the front office is the least of our worries. It's been pretty consistent over the past 10 to 12 years, at least. You know, that I think that had a lot to do with when Jeff Fisher was still around. He kind of had to keep things in check, and he put good teams on the field. He put the best teams that he could on the field. After he left, things kind of got a little mixed up. When Ken Whisenhunt first came in, I had high hopes, just because, you know, I was excited about having a better name, a big name still. You know, Ken Whisenhunt was a pretty well-known guy in the league still, but after, you know, his first season there, it was just disappointing, I guess, is the best word to describe it. And I'm kind of glad that he got out of there when he did. Mularkey's been there for a little while now, and I'm hoping that he can start working with that team. The front office is making good moves in this offseason, though, so... Like I say, I'm not terribly worried about the front office as much as the coaching right now, but only because we've had an interim head coach named to be the head coach. So we'll see what happens there.
So, you know, you go through the thing of drafting Marcus Mariota. He has a great first game and then sort of kind of has one of those slumps. He gets injured. He tries to come back, has to deal with a lot of issues on the team with other injuries. What did you think about Mariota's first season overall, and are you excited for him going into the next season here?
Well, I'll tell you, when we first drafted Marcus Mariota, I threw a fit because I wanted us to desperately draft defense. But after seeing him play in person and his little bit of the season that he got to have as a rookie, I was pleasantly surprised. I was very excited about what he was able to bring to the table for us. He's a dual threat quarterback, obviously, out of the University of Oregon. He, you know, doesn't have any problems off the field. He's going to be a leader, and I think the one thing we have to do is provide a little bit more protection for him. Our offensive line was, you know, very subpar last year in doing that. And it showed when we had to resort to playing Zach Mettenberger.
Yeah, certainly. Mettenberger was a big issue for you guys there at quarterback. But so moving on into the offseason, you had there was things during the season that were positive. You know, you had Delanie Walker kind of come through and really become a big asset. You know, you had questions at receiver. Obviously, running the ball wasn't a problem. You had like four different running backs. They all were sort of running, but passing blocking was an issue. He was getting whichever the quarterback was getting sacked a ton. Your defense is actually pretty all right, for the most part. They were one of the team leader, you know, whole league leaders in sacks. They were sacking people and everybody. So then you go into this offseason, and you make the trade for DeMarco Murray, which sets your running back up. You got Rishard Matthews at receiver, and then you got Ben Jones as an offensive lineman, guard and center there. What do you think about the moves?
I mean, I'm liking the moves. A little more depth at offensive line couldn't hurt us. Let me see. I love the addition of DeMarco Murray, though. Obviously, he's an all-pro caliber running back. And to tell you the truth, I wasn't huge on our running back core last year. I don't like splitting carries between four and five running backs. I like having one or two guys at the very most splitting carries if we have to, but DeMarco Murray's proven that he could be an every down back. So I'm excited about having him. Rishard Matthews, I haven't seen a whole lot from, but I know he had a pretty solid season in Miami. I'm excited to see what he can do. Doriel Green Beckham last year proved as a rookie that he is ready to step up. And Kendall Wright being our other guy at wide receiver, I think we have a good, solid group there. Delanie Walker, you know, all-pro tight end now. So we have the weapons. I think as long as we provide protection and our defense stays solid, we should in theory, you know, be prepared to take this season to the next level. But once again, you know, anybody can look good on paper.
Yeah, so do you think that now you've got kind of this offensive part settled, you definitely, when you're looking at needs, you have needs on the defensive end that you still need to fix up?
Well, you know, we definitely need another pass rusher, I think. And we need a number one corner. We need somebody out there that we can rely on shutting down opposing wide receivers. You know, we play Andrew Luck twice a year. We play Blake Bortles twice a year. You know, we're going to be playing Brock Osweiler twice a year now. And those are three talented quarterbacks, and we know that they're going to pass the ball. We know that's the plan. And so we need to be ready to combat that. We need to have somebody that's not only going to put pressure on those quarterbacks, but be able to stop the wide receivers that are going to be running their routes. You know, those teams have a lot of big, fast wide receivers. You know, Houston's got DeAndre Hopkins, who's terrifying to play against. The kid is an absolute freak. And, you know, he's been nothing but impressive so far in the NFL. Allen Robinson in Jacksonville showed off last year alongside, with his quarterback Blake Bortles, and Bortles is proving that he can be a top five quarterback in the NFL if he wants to be, and he's definitely going to be able to do that. Now they've got a more steady running back core signing Chris Ivory, and lastly, you know, obviously Andrew Luck. He's a Pro Bowl quarterback. He's one of the top three consistently as long as he stays healthy in the league. In the league, he's got wide receivers for days. T.Y. Hilton. The kid he spreads the field so well and helps create for everyone else around him. So the question is, how can we stop that? You know, we have three high-caliber offenses that we have to stop just in our division that we have to play twice a year. How do we stop it? And if we can stop that and find a solution, then I feel like we'll be in great shape and definitely be in the running for a playoff spot.
Yeah, and that being said, on the defensive side, you've got some guys that are unrestricted free agents right now. Sammy Lee Hill, you know, Michael Griffin at safety, you know, to go down corner and lower on the end. You got Cody Sensabaugh and Brandon Harris at your corners. I mean, any of those guys you really think you need to go and re-sign?
Re-sign? I mean, if we can get them for cheap, I would try to re-sign maybe. Honestly, no, not right away. Defensive back is pretty deep in both free agency and the draft this year. Michael Griffin has been a slight disappointment. You know, when he first came into the league, he was all pro, and he just kind of slipped and fell off from there. And we're hoping that, you know, if he does come back and we do re-sign him, that he steps his game back up and proves that he wants to be there.
Fair enough. Anybody that you've looked at, either in free agency or the draft, that you say, man, he'd really be a fit for our team or anything?
Well, you know, as far as the draft goes, I think the first overall pick is pretty much a lock with Tunsil, the offensive tackle from Ole Miss. You know, priority number one should be protecting Mariota. But with free agency, one guy that did come to mind, although he's not a huge name, and I don't know if he can re-sign because I haven't looked up his information today, Prince Amukamara from the Giants, and I don't know if he's landed anywhere yet because, once again, I just woke up a little bit ago, so I should have done my research before I got on here. But
Wait, who did you say you're looking at?
I'm looking at him.
He is not landing anywhere yet, so.
I mean, I would love to land him. You know, and the scouting reports on him say that the only interested team is Jacksonville. I will be damned if he goes to another team in the division when we are in desperate need of defensive backs. We have plenty of money in the cap space for him. And I know, you know, we have to pay DeMarco Murray, and, you know, he's got that guaranteed, I think, 18 or 21 million. I don't remember exactly how much. But another guy that interests me is free safety, Reggie Nelson. He's another one that, like I said, I'm looking at DBs. If I'm going in free agency, that is what I want to find. I want to find somebody that we can put in our defensive backfield. And we can say, that's the guy that's going to anchor our defense. That's the guy that's going to stop that pass. And we're going to finally shut down the enemy receivers, because that is what has had us getting beat. Last year, week two, we went up to Cleveland, and we lost on basically two deep balls to Travis Benjamin because we couldn't stop the pass. And I think, like I say, that should be another priority, is our defensive backfield and protecting the quarterback. Those should have been our two top priorities. We found a franchise running back in DeMarco Murray, and hopefully he stays with us for a while. And like I said, this is what I want, defensive backfield right now.
All right, fair enough. So when you're looking at going into training camp, you would say this is a successful offseason, because which of these, what three things happen? I mean, and they can be things that have already happened, if you want to include that.
Okay, so three things that we've accomplished or that I'm happy about. Number one, we've got a franchise running back. DeMarco Murray is a proven commodity. We're not worried about having to play three or four different running backs anymore, I think. We finally have that one guy that we can go, here's our guy, he's going to carry us, and he's going to take pressure off of Mariota. Number two is, with the signing of DeMarco Murray, it gives us more likelihood to provide to go out and get Tunsil, because not only will he protect Mariota, but he will open up holes for Murray. And that is a much needed thing in Tennessee, is to make sure that we get that running game going. Because the run game takes pressure off the quarterback. If they have to respect the running back, then they will take their eyes off the quarterback. And Marcus Mariota does not need ball. He's a great decision maker. He's a fast, smart kid, and he can beat you in so many ways. The third thing is just, I guess if I had to pick one thing, it's that I think we know what direction we're going in as a team. You know, we see, you look at the Titans and you go, what were their problems last year? Were they fixed? And overall, I think, yeah. I think we're heading in the right direction. Wiz Hunt's out. Malarkey's there. He knows what he's doing. He's been with the team for a while now. I'd love to land defensive back in free agency. But, you know, even if that doesn't happen, I mean, we're looking to go in the right direction by providing an offense that revolves around Mariota, so that he can learn to be the future of the franchise as he grows. And in 2 years, you know, he could be the guy that everybody in the NFL is talking about. And that's what our goals should be, to make our team revolve around that first round pick. And I think we're providing that.
All right. Well, Jimmy, thank you so much for helping out here today, doing the interview. We'll probably be doing one of these later when the draft ends, and we'll be going around and talking to you know, everybody from each team and seeing how they think their draft went. But you can catch Jimmy Christopher every Monday night, 30 minutes after Raw is over, on the Raw Reaction on Breaking Wrestling News Radio over on Blog Talk Radio. He is the producer of that fine show. So make sure to check him out over there.
Yeah, my birth's worse than my bite.
Well, thank you again, Jimmy, and hope you have a good night.
Thank you very much for having me, and I'll talk to you soon.
Later. All right. Well, that was Jimmy Christopher talking about the Titans. I think he kind of summed it up there. I mean, we already talked about the moves that they made, but obviously protecting Mariota is a huge deal. They had that problem last season. And he kept talking about defensive back a ton. Do you think Amukamara would even go over there? I mean, it looks like he's talking to Jags, but it's not anything definite right now.
You know, I think, you know, any place is an option, and I don't think that he would have a problem with joining the Titans as much as he would the Jaguars. So, but, I mean, you know, all indications right now are kind of still pointing to the Jaguars, so I don't know that. But I do know that I agree with him completely. I do feel like that the Titans could definitely use some help in the secondary. If they could only get a couple of really solid pieces in there, their defense could really be one to be reckoned with. Like we said, last year, I mean, pass rush was really not a problem for them. But it was a problem when it came to teams, you know, beating them deep, having a field day, you know, however they wanted it in the passing game, as long as they get the ball off, you know. So I feel like, you know, he's not far from wrong on there. I think that, you know, he's pretty true when he says that they need help there. I agree.
Yeah, I obviously protecting Mariota is the number one thing. I mean, he is your not only your present, he is your future. You definitely do not want to get him hurt. But I do really think that he is 100% right that the secondary has to be the second option, because look at that division. You look at the AFC East last year as the division that made the most moves, and I think that's what you're looking at with the AFC South. I think the Colts were the top team. I mean, Luck gets hurt, and Houston wins that division, but Houston makes a bunch of moves. Jaguars are making a bunch of moves. Those offenses are top of the line. So how do you combat that? You get a secondary to slow them down, and you try to beat them that way. So I think that's what they have to do. They have to look at the six games that they have to play against a division, and how are you going to win the most of those?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that for the Titans with that division, where you could certainly win some games and you make some of the right moves. You know, defensive back was an issue for them, and I remember liking Michael Griffin when he came out of college, but I kind of agree with Jimmy here that he sort of regressed as time has gone on. Some of these other guys, I mean, you could probably find replacements for them. I think, like, a guy like Cody Sensabaugh, I think if you get him cheap, he wouldn't be bad to kind of have as a backup there. Not too many on that unrestricted free agent list that's, like, a total need to come back at all for the Titans either.
Mm-hmm. It's not a, you know, we're just talking really two positions here. They're big positions. They matter for all 32 teams. Offensive line and, of course, defensive backs are pretty big situations when you come to having weaknesses there. But I'll say this, you know, we're about to talk about the Jaguars. They kind of figured out something in their free agency when it came to special teams, which I think was smart. I think, you know, that the Titans should, you know, look into special teams as well. I mean, they weren't exactly, you know, the leaders when it came to the special teams. And I think that's another area that this team could help, you know, themselves by getting a few pieces.
All right. Well, let's move on to the Jaguars here. This one had to be like a last-minute friend of a friend helping us out. It's certainly a Jaguars fan, also a Florida Gators fan. I don't want to get his last name wrong, so I'll wait for him to say it himself, but his first name is Wade And he certainly knows a lot about his team. He's even been a season ticket holder before. So here we go. About 19 minutes or so talking Jags, talking about the moves that have already happened and a few more things. All right, so I'm here with so I don't say your name wrong. You say your name.
I'm used to Wade Kutnick.
Okay, so Wade, how long have you been? You're telling me that you even had Jag season tickets in the past?
Yeah, pretty much. I've had them on and off since they started up. Since I had my daughter, the weekends are tough going to Florida games on Saturdays and then coming back, and my Sundays are usually at home, so it's kind of tough to pull those, you know, double weekends. But I go when I can.
Yeah, Gary and I know the feeling. We got kids ourselves, so the weekends are rough ones sometimes.
Right, right.
But so, you know, the Jags, they had an interesting season last season with, you know, Blake Bortles definitely had his best year, you know, had offensively. They were pretty impressive as far as just what they were able to do, you know, Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, but the defensive side was obviously a huge issue that a lot of times just kind of let you down because they were putting up points and it was either you're hoping for a Bortles interception or you're hoping for the defense to make a mistake. So when you're looking at when you're looking at the team from last season, what is your like overall perception of 2015?
You know, the defense obviously needs help, and they've made a couple, you know, acquisitions, a proven safety, a proven defensive lineman, a proven running back, which, you know, they need also. And you know, the defense is it's an interesting situation because, you know, their pass defense was horrendous, and it's kind of one of those things where you can blame the pass rush or you can blame the secondary, and you really don't know which side to blame because there weren't really any proven players on either side to where you could say, oh, you know, we've got legitimate proven, you know, secondary players, so it's got to be the pass rush, or we've got legitimate pass rush guys, so it's got to be the secondary. So they at least got one of each, you know, from the free agency side, and you know, hopefully Fowler can come off the ACL tear and be, you know, what he was in college and provide some pass rush off the edge and help that side of the ball out at least. And, you know, they're still working on some guys in free agency. So, you know, hopefully they can add some on each side. I'd really like to see them get some help on the offensive line. I think they were, if they weren't dead last, they were pretty close to the bottom in yards per carry last year. Which, you know, I think is a pretty good indicator of a bad offensive line when it comes
to
run blocking.
Bortles was sacked, I don't know how many times
last season. It's tough. To, you know, I'm personally a little hard on Bortles for some of his interceptions, and hopefully those can. I think he's a really aggressive quarterback. I mean, he throws a lot of 50-50 balls to Robinson, who obviously came down with more than his share of balls, and he's not afraid to push the ball downfield, which I think led to his gaudy stats. But the interceptions, you know, just in the worst possible times, just if that can stop, then the defense really just has to be average. So I mean, you know, pick sixes on the opposition's 5-yard line just can't happen. And hopefully they stop calling those passes out into the flats in those situations because they haven't turned out very well recently. So, you know, there's a lot of I don't think they're that far away, but, you know, they need to make the right moves. And I'm kind of glad they didn't make the Olivier Vernon sign. I'm glad he went to New York because what people don't understand, a lot of Jaguars fans are all upset that we didn't get him because we have all this money and under the cap and everything. And what people don't understand is, you know, you can't account for how hard a guy's going to play after he's got, you know, $50 million in the bank account, you know. And he was clear, you know, that he was going to go to the place that was going to pay him the most. And those guys just never seem to pan out, in my opinion at least.
So I'm happy to see New York spend all the money on him so he can, you know, relax in, on their defensive line instead of ours. So I hope they get some, you know, blue-collar type guys in free agency, and I'm not really worried about them going after the big high-dollar guys.
Well, I mean, they did splash lots of cash on Malik Jackson, who, you know, it's a great defensive lineman last year for the Super Bowl winning Broncos, and now he helps that interior part of the line. What do you think he brings to the Jaguars they didn't have last season? And then you have, you know, Dante Fowler who will come back and hopefully play.
Well, you know, Jackson's a guy that can move inside and out in different situations. It seems like they've been trying to find a pass rusher for like 20 years now, even though it's, it hasn't been that long. But ever since, you know, like Tony Bracken's days, which is, you know, way back in the 90s, and I think Bobby McCray came in as like a seventh round pick and had 10 and a half sacks 1 year. But ever since then, they've never been able to find that guy. It was kind of like the wide receiver position until recently, when they just, you know, kept drafting them and ended up hitting on several. But I'm hoping that Fowler can be that guy, and hopefully Malik Jackson can, you know, just draw attention, to free up some other guys on the line. And, you know, it's just difficult because I just don't know. I think it's more secondary than it is defensive line. Quarterbacks have never had a problem finding open receivers against us. And I think more often than not, they hit their back foot and find an open guy rather than just, you know, sit there in a pocket for 4 or 5 seconds and find someone eventually get open. So we'll see what happens. I hope they can get some, you know, maybe draft a good cover corner and or safety and fix up that secondary, in my opinion, and maybe a linebacker or two. And I think the defense should be at least average, which is about all they need.
Yeah, I mean, you already talked about that secondary having issues. It seemed like, you know, Devon House was the only reliable guy as far as at least getting interceptions for them.
You're right. Yep.
You bring in Tashawn Gibson. Any thoughts on him?
That's really what they needed. Is a guy you can sit at free safety and know he's going to be able to, or at least hope he's going to be able to get the job done. I mean, he's proven he can do it. So in the NFL, so you know, if it's not happening at that point, you need to look elsewhere. You need to look at the line or you know, at corner or you know, not at the free safety position, which hasn't been the greatest recently either. I'd like a little bit, you know, they've got Aaron Colvin can cover the slot pretty well. He's kind of somewhat proven himself as a young player. But I'd really like them to get at least one more, you know, top-notch corner. I think they have Prince, I don't even know how to say his name, Amakamu or whatever the heck it is. He's coming in for a visit. You know, he'll probably get paid too much like all free agents, but he'll at least be a guy that can at least provide some competition and potentially be another starter there. I think Robert Ayers is another guy that's coming in from a defensive end. So you know, there's still work to do. I'd really like to see them get some help on the offensive line. Honestly, you've got young franchise quarterback that you just need to protect, and it seems like they're just completely worried about the I don't know what the front office is thinking, to be honest. I'm not in on their meetings or anything, but fans seem to just think that we just need to shore up the defense and the offense is fine, and I don't really think that's the case. I want to say I looked first to second half statistics last year, and second half was just on offense was exponentially better, which, you know, could be due to, you know, lax defenses.
Part of that was
with
because
the lead.
they would get behind so bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And I tried to explain that to some people, but they didn't want to listen. But just if you say anything bad about the Jags offense, the people tend to get a little irritated because they did put up big numbers. And I, you know, like I said, I just think Bortles is a very aggressive quarterback.
Right.
And you know, at sometimes to a fault, but I think they need to be able to run the ball, which they absolutely could not. I think I want to say they had under 5 rushing touchdowns last year from running backs.
Yeah, Yeldon got hurt quite a few times, and then they just didn't have anybody behind him. You know,
they just flat out. Even Yeldon, I mean, his yards might have been decent. But when you go back and look at the yards per carry, which I think I think it's more important than a lot of stats. You know, it's not like he was going 2 yards, 2 yards, no yards, and then breaking off an 80-yarder. You know, like Fred Taylor used to do a little bit.
Do you think that Chris Ivory will be able to provide a great 1-2 punch there with Yeldon, so Yeldon's not having to do a lot of the bulk work?
Ivory's a bruiser for sure, and I just think that first, you know, 3 to 4 yards is all offensive line. You know, if a big guy can't get going, you know, if he's getting hit right when he gets the ball, it doesn't really matter how big he is. You know, so I mean, they've got to be able to run block. So, and they've got some young offensive line. You know, don't get me wrong, but Jokel's not turned out to be the guy they hoped he would be. Yet they're sticking with him for now. They've got some good interior guys, and we'll see. I think they need to work more on that side of the ball than many think. Obviously not at wide receiver, not at quarterback, and now not at running back. But that line, it's half the offense. You know, there's 5 guys on that line. So,
well, that being said, I definitely think that needs to be a focal point. You've got to, I mean, he looks like he's making a bunch of money already, so I'd imagine he'd be expecting more or at least as much. You know, you've got Zane Beatles at your left guard who he's not unrestricted, but he's sort of a different kind of free agent he's an SFA. And then
I don't think he'll be back.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I'm not exactly sure though. I listened, but I don't know why I thought he was not going to be brought back. But I could be wrong on that one.
Yeah, and you've got Steven Wisniewski and Sam Young, both also unrestricted guys. So I mean, I don't know if they're thinking about just revamping everybody because, again, like you mentioned and like I said, you know, the offensive line, as far as pass blocking at least, and they weren't that great run blocking either, but off pass blocking, they were absolutely terrible. A lot of the times that you can say Blake Bortles was making a mistake, even though there was many times he just threw the ball up and it was a stupid interception. But he was running
That's
for his life
tough,
a lot of
times.
Judge,
you know
he there were so many times he has to roll out because the moment that he snaps the ball, there's somebody in his face already.
I
don't know how, like, you're saying this, and I don't understand how other Jags fans aren't seeing what you're saying. Like, how do you not go back and watch that film and go, we need offensive line help more than anything?
I'd be perfectly fine with our defense being slightly below average and us being able to protect the most important player on the team and being able to just outscore people. I mean, not just from a fan standpoint, because that's more exciting. But that's where your talent is right now, your young talent. And, you know, I think you need to just not ignore that and not think it's perfectly fine because it's not. Because, you know, they were in playing from behind situations, pretty much the entire year, to be honest. So I don't think they just need to, you know, think everything's okay on that side of the ball. Not saying they are, but so many people are so worried about, you know, the pass rush and all this other stuff. And, you know, I don't know. Obviously Denver, did a lot with defense this past year. But you're not going to fix that in 1 year. Certainly not in free agency. And I mean, not many people seem to do that when they go and, you know, give people tens of millions of dollars. That's my thing with free agency is you give someone guaranteed $40 million, how hard will any of us play a physical contact sport with $40 million in your bank account? You know, I'm not everyone's the same, but I don't know. I mean, no one's ever handed me a check, a contract like that. So I don't know personally what I would do, but You know, I just don't. I'm not a big fan of how hard players play with that much money. And there certainly are guys that do, and those are the special players that everyone knows about. You know, not many teams fix everything in free agency. Some people do, but I think the Dolphins have kind of proven that year after year.
Yeah.
As well as the Redskins, and you know, name team after team that has, you know, given millions, tens of millions of dollars every offseason and signed all the big name guys and not getting any better. So
you definitely say, okay, that first pick, whatever it is in the draft, we're going offensive line then, because
You know, if Tunzel falls for them, yes. I haven't looked at any other offensive linemen to know if anyone else is worthy of that kind of a pick. To me, with what they've done in the free agency as of today, I would say it's looking like either Miles Jack, the linebacker, or I'm gonna sound like a homer for saying this, but Vernon Hargraves, a cover corner. A lot of people have talked about Ramsey, but you know, they've already gotten a safety through free agency, so maybe they look at and see what holes they didn't fill in free agency, and look to fill that with their number one pick. So
you
I really
never
am not
have too many corners, so picking up a Hargraves would not be a bad deal for them at all.
No, and you know, I don't even know if Hargraves is the best cover corner at that slot. I actually wasn't a fan of how he played this past year. I don't know if he cruised because of, you know, he had some injury issues and some other stuff. I mean, he's got an unbelievable ability, so we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. So when you look at you're starting training camp, when you look back at this offseason, what three things would you say equal to a successful offseason for you, for the Jags?
What three things did they do or do they do?
Yeah, which, I mean, you can include players that have already been signed or whatever, but if you're looking back at the offseason, this offseason, that once it's already passed, you're saying these three things happened, we had a great offseason.
If they can sign one proven offensive lineman, you know, they've added a guy that can do, you know, can do it all on the defensive line. You know, they thought they did that last year with Jared Odrick. He was kind of the same player as Malik Jackson, not at the same level, certainly, but I know they want another rush in, but I really think Fowler is going to be really good, even though he's kind of a tweener. You know, they have all those, you know, all their different names for the positions and stuff. So he can stand up and play the outside or put his hand down. But and I'd also like to see them find a replacement for Puzlesny at middle linebacker. I think he's limited. He's got the leadership and mental aspect of it down, but he's limited in speed and certainly coverage, although he made a few plays this past year. But he's, you know, he's getting up there in years, and you've got to find that replacement to captain the defense, in my opinion. You've got to start working on that right now. Telvin Smith is certainly a really good player, but, you know, he's going to play the outside. He's undersized. You've got to find someone to man that middle for sure. Now, maybe Miles Jack, I don't know. Just they've got to start working on that, though.
All right, fair enough. Well, thank you, Wade, for helping us out here tonight.
No problem.
I mean, Gary was having a heck of a time trying to find somebody, so really appreciate it.
Okay. I assume you press stop now. Okay.
All right. Well, that was Wade talking about his Jags. I think he kind of, I mean, honestly, the Jags, they were lacking It's sort of kind of like the Titans, except for they have huger holes on defense that they need to fill. They need to protect the Bortles, and they needed to get stuff short up on defense. And they certainly did that with their moves that they made that we already talked about. But it seems like they got some... Do they have anything glaring that you guys are looking at and saying, okay, they got to make sure this gets filled up? Gary? Hello, one of y'all.
Sorry, I was on mute. I was
Me too. I was trying to get off mute. Go ahead,
Ray. That's what happens when we listen to these things. But the offensive line to me is the main thing. They have to protect Bortles, give him time to hit his weapons, and allow that running game to get going. The offense is very potent, but if they can get the offensive line to really protect that, then I really think they can go far.
Yeah, I mean, really, let's be honest. Wade kind of pointed it out, right? You know, they have so many great young talents on that offense, and it's just a shame for them not to be successful because of really one position, and that's the offensive line. If they can shore that up, that offense can be more than, you know, explosive. They can be, you know, really explosive, and that's scary to think that. Maybe, you know, they got away with some things last year, maybe just because they were able to take those wild chances. They had to because they were behind in games, and, hey, it ended up being successful. This year, why play like that? If you can shore up that offensive line, you can play smart and still have an explosive offense. And I think it's good. And I think that's something they really do need. He mentioned, you know, some other needs that they needed. He feels like secondary, they're trying to shore up that secondary, and maybe they can do some more of that. I think that's a good idea. And, you know, add a few little pieces here or there. Continue working on that defensive line. Sure, they got Jackson, they got Fowler, but if they add some more pieces, they could be even more dangerous on that side of the ball. So I think the Jaguars are a young team who are upcoming, and I think that they've got a lot of chances here if they could just add those right pieces.
Yeah, certainly. The Jags, their issue was last year they pretty much had Devon House doing everything for them in the secondary. They would get some nice defensive turnover sometimes, but then it's either Blake Bortles is running for his life or he's making dumb mistakes. And some of that is on Bortles. You know, he has to get better as far as making those decisions because he's aggressive, as just like Wade said. But if you don't have a guy protecting Bortles at all, and the moment that he snaps the ball, he's already having a roll out because he's fearing that he's going to get sacked. I mean, that messes with you mentally. It messes the way you can – what you're doing at the quarterback position.
Yeah, and I think it takes away those 50-50 balls. You know, Wade was talking about how much that was a worry. It was a concern. And those interceptions that were pick sixes, hopefully, sure, if that offensive line, that can go away. You can allow Bortles to take his time, allow Bortles to play the game the way it's supposed to be played, and not just play, you know, hey, let's see what can happen if I just throw it this way. It was successful a lot of times, and I think it's great, but, I mean, playing scared is not the way your quarterback really needs to be playing.
Anything else you guys think that's needed to be covered here for the Jags at all?
No, just like I said, the AFC South has made the most moves, as really tried to go from the joke of the NFL to a division that's going to be very, very interesting. So, like I said, I very much am into the Jags. I think they can win this division. But Houston made some good moves. Tennessee put themselves a lot closer to being a contender, and it's going to be really interesting to see how it goes.
I agree.
All right, well, that'll do it for us here for this episode of Football to the Max. Hopefully, if you've enjoyed what you heard here, you'll go rate and review us on iTunes. That would help out a lot. All you do, go find the show on iTunes. You go hit the number of stars. And then if you want to write something, you can. You don't have to, actually. And that helps us out. Helps us grow in the number of possible avenues that people see us there, whether that's on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever. It helps out. Of course, subscribing is the biggest thing. You can do that either on our just the feed for that show, or you can go find the WTM Network, which has all of our other shows that we do, whether it's the flagship, the rest of the Max show, which we just did before this one, talking, previewing that WD Roadblock and New Japan Cup Final and all a bunch of other things that we talked about. And, you know, we have two video game podcasts. We have other wrestling podcasts on there. So plenty of stuff to check out. And, Randy, you have your backlog busting with a new one coming up this next week.
Yeah, next week we will be talking about BattleBlock Theater, which Wes and I are playing on Twitch over the next couple of days. We're about halfway through that. I will be talking about Unravel, another game. I'm about halfway through that game. It has me hooked. It's so good. And Wes is playing through Kingdom Hearts, which you're supposed to be on to tell him why he's wrong if he doesn't like it.
Yeah, so should be an interesting show for sure. Well, until Monday, where we'll be starting our look at the NFC, we'll be doing the NFC South. I think most of the guys that we have on from that division will probably be Last Word on Sports writers. It seems like we have a nice contingent of NFC South fans in there. I know we have at least have a Saints person and Tampa Bay Bucks person, so we'll at least have one show covered, if anything. But then we'll just be moving across the NFC until we get to the end, and it'll be a couple of weeks before the draft, I think, and we'll get really heavy into that. But all the deals for free agency, I think, most of them are now final, at least the ones that have been done. So it should be interesting going forward how this weekend unfolds things. Well, until Monday night, Tuesday morning, we'll see you later.
You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.